Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to get into your word, Lord. Thank you for just the life that's in this place. Thank you for the little feet that are running around in this place, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship, just the joy of the fellowship with your saints, Lord. What a blessing to be in your house with people who love you and people who love each other. We're so grateful and so thankful, Lord. So we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, as we continue to try and navigate daily, oh my God, to navigate daily through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world, we need your word to think right, to act right, to live right, to be right. Thank you for the light of your word that illuminates the way so we don't have to walk or live in darkness. Thank you for making the way straight. We thank you that the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord. Let us continue to walk righteous through your word and the illumination of your word. Holy Spirit, continue to lead and speak to us now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if you would, open your Bibles to Esther chapter 5. Take a look at verse 3. Esther 5 and 3. Then said the king unto her, "What will thou, Queen Esther, and what is your request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We kind of understand that when Esther was praying and fasting for those 3 days and nights with no food and no water, we know, kind of get a hint into what they were praying for, because we see the answer right here. We have in verse 2 where she received favor, and then we know that she was praying that the king would ask her, "What do you want? What can I do for you? How can I help you?" So if you haven't made a note already, make a note that you pray specifically. As we're praying and fasting each morning, pray specifically regarding your singleness, regarding your marriage, regarding your kids, your grandkids, your family, your job, your business, your ministry. Pray specifically. And watch God answer that specific prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So the king asked her, what does she want? She puts herself in a position through praying and fasting to receive an answer from the king. Because we saw that in verse 3. Take a quick look at, keep your finger here and go to, go back a chapter to Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah 2 and 4. So I want to establish a pattern here, and it's a pattern that we can apply to our life. Verse 4. If you're there, Nehemiah 2 and 4. Say amen.
Amen.
Then the king said unto me, "For what do you make requests, or what do you want?" King asked Nehemiah the same thing. Look at Nehemiah 1 and 4. After he received the news that his family and his people were just a reproach, here's his response in 1 and 4. "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of my requests, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel and thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You saw he prayed specifically. He prayed and fasted. And then the king asked him, what do you want? So you notice a pattern. So last week we left off at 2 Chronicles 1 and 7. So let's go back there. I think we're kind of getting the idea. Amen. Second Chronicles 1 and 7. If you notice the pattern, and we're going to see it once again, that God responds to a heart that is surrendered and submitted to him. Make a note of that. God responds to that heart that's submitted and surrendered to him. Did I say 2 Chronicles 1 and 7? Yes. In that night did God appear unto Solomon, said unto him, ask what I shall give you. Wow. I don't know what's more amazing, that God would ask us what do we want, or just the fact that we're actually talking to God. The one who created everything, the one who made everything, the one who chose us, the one who will never leave us or forsake us. And he actually, and most people are still stuck on whether God is real or not. And here God is actually talking to his people. I don't know what's more amazing, that God is actually talking, or the fact that you don't even have to wonder if God is real or not. Talks to Solomon. And I love this conversation. I love this dialogue. So God is asking. And so then just think about, what do you want from God? If you're during your prayer time tomorrow morning, if God said, what do you want? What do we say? What do I say, God? What do I really want from God? You got to examine your heart for that. That's a good one. That's between you and God. I want us to really, you and I want us to really examine our hearts during the course of this day. And just think about it. If God asked me that question, God, what do I really want? What do you really want? Kids, car, house. I mean, would it be shallow or would it? What do I really want from God? Health, wealth, a big church. Well, I mean, y'all gonna play holy this morning. Okay, all right. Y'all gonna play holy this morning. That's good. Just play. Okay, just continue throughout the week too then. Amen. I don't know. I have an idea, but I really have to. And as I've been meditating on this all week, I have an idea, but I really have to search my heart to see what's the real me. See, it gets to the core. What's the real you? What is the and that's between you and God. That's between you and God. Who are you really? A question like this, you have to analyze, who am I to the core? My motives, my intentions, my hidden agenda, the motive behind the motive behind the motive. Verse 8, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign or to rule in his stead. Verse 9, now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge. Really? You going to give a church answer? Y'all going to play? Solomon going to play holy. Oh, I just need some wisdom and knowledge so I can. That does sound like a church answer. Praise the Lord, family. He was trying to be holy like y'all in here. Oh, I just want to just, God, I just want to serve you the rest of my life. God, I just want to do your will. That's all I want, God. Really? Okay. It sounded like a really good stock church answer. But as we dig deeper, verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? God, I need wisdom on how to. I'm king. I'm a parent. I'm a man. I'm a single mom. I'm a single dad. I'm a married man. I'm a single woman. God, I need wisdom on how to conduct my life. I need insight. I need discernment on how to conduct my life. Verse 11, and God said unto Solomon, wow. And God said unto Solomon, because this was in your. So it wasn't just a. Wasn't just a stock church answer. That's who he really was. This is so that's why as we're praying and fasting daily. I would say be real with yourself. Be real with God. God hears our prayer. He responds to praying. He responds to fasting. But it makes no sense for God to respond and you're not being real with yourself. And you're not being real with God. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, I would like wisdom and knowledge, but I'm struggling right now. I'll just like an extra job to help pay the bills. God, God, really, I'd like some transportation so I can stop riding the bus. God, I would like to be debt free. Give me wisdom on how to take care of my finances. God, I would like to have a better marriage, but I know I need to work on me because it's really not my spouse. It's me. It's my vertical that's affecting the horizontal. Amen. Just got to be real with God. And that takes some maturing. Everybody can't do that because everybody doesn't want to be mature in Christ because that comes with accountability. And then I have to admit that, you know what, I'm kind of messed up. We're pride to say it's not my problem. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Amen. Amen. So it's a real heart thing right here. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart and you have not asked riches, wealth or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet, not yet. But he's going to ask for it, but not yet has asked long life. You ain't asking yet, God. I see what else is behind this. You want to ask for long life, which is cool. I understand that. God, I'd like to be here. If you're going to give me all that, I'd like to. If I give me wisdom and knowledge, give me a longevity so I can use it. Amen. But has asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself that thou mayest judge my people. Over whom, underline this, I have made you king. So you didn't do this yourself. Amen. Amen. He said, you didn't do this yourself. I made you king. You asked for it so that you could judge the people who I made you king over. You and I were asking for it because we're parents and God has given us the kids. Amen. Amen. Because we need the wisdom on the parent to be parents over the kids that God's given us. Amen. And grandparents over the kids that God's given us. Over the job that God's given you. Amen. Over the marriage that God has given you. Over your singleness, which where God has you right now. You can't take credit for it. It's not yours. It's God's anyway. Because if God didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. Over the life that God has given you, over the breath that you just took that God has given you. So Solomon, yeah, I've given you all this and I need you to be accountable for it and a good steward over it. Jesus told us in the word, if you're faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. The problem is we want much and we can't be faithful over the little that he's given us. We've flipped the scripture. Talking to a young man the other day, he said, man, I don't want to start at the bottom. I want to go right to the top. How would you last there? You haven't even done anything. So you want to be a manager and you've never been an employee. Just think about that. That's probably the worst person you could work for. Someone who's never been an employee and now they become the manager. That's what God is saying. Just handle the little stuff that I've given you. You haven't gotten it yourself. Handle the little stuff that I've given you so I can make you ruler over much. Look what God does in verse 12. He said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. It's the type of God we serve. When we're honest with God, he gives us the desires of our heart because he's placed those desires in our heart. Remember, we're praying according to his will. Remember, he's not the genie in the bottle. He's not the poof. What do I need? But he's saying, because you've asked according to what's in your heart and according to my will, I'm going to give it to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before you. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. And that's, make a note, that's Ephesians 3 and 20. God gives us exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. But we have to do it his way. And let me see. Can I find that? I didn't plan on going here. Let me see if I can. Where's the queen? Who knows? Where's my scholars at? Where Solomon met the Queen of Sheba. Where is that at? Oh, here it is. Go to 2 Chronicles 9. Ah, it's just there. All right. Oh, my scholars. Who's going to help me out? Oh, okay. Brother Manny, John, I got you. thanks a lot. I appreciate y'all. I wasn't going here, but let's. Chapter 9. Oh, okay. You asking? He asked John what verse. John, not sure about that one. So listen to what God, remember what God just told him. I'm going to give it to you like no one else has had it before you. Then we go to 2 Chronicles 9. And when the queen of Sheba, 9:1, heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to test Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. She said, I can't even believe any of this. She's the queen of Sheba, which we know is near Ethiopia. And she comes to Solomon. I'm going to test this dude. I'm going to ask him some hard questions. She came with a great company of camels that bear spices and gold in abundance, because you don't approach the king empty handed. Somebody's going to get that on the way home. Oh, I came to offering empty handed. I approached the king empty handed. No, you never come to the king empty handed. I don't care what you have. The lady in Luke, I believe it's 21, she gave 2 mites. It was all she had. It's a tough one right there to give all that you have. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody else in this place. Because it wasn't about the amount, it was about the heart. And she's approaching the king with something. So here's the queen of Sheba. She's not coming empty handed. She's coming with her entourage and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. Wow, that's a deep conversation. And Solomon told her all her questions. She came with those hard questions. He answered each and every one. Why? What did God give him? Wisdom and knowledge. So whatever question she had, he had the wisdom and knowledge from God to answer it. And she shared her whole heart. And remember, she was queen of Ethiopia. There's probably a lot going on in her queendom, I guess you should say. And she had questions, and Solomon answered each and every one because of the wisdom of God that was in him. We're spirit filled. We're spirit sealed. The more you spend time with God and his word, the more wisdom he gives you. Amen. Amen. To answer the hard questions that we get. If God is so loving, why is there so much evil in the world? Why did he let my mom die when I was a... You can answer the hard questions from the wisdom of the word of God. Verse 3. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat at his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their clothing. They had on the top of the line clothing. His cupbearers also, and their apparel, everybody was decked out. And the train, the ascent, that the entryway that went up to his house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. She was done. But God told him, because you've asked for wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you that. Plus, I'm going to give you more than anybody else who's ever had before you or will come after you. I don't care what these kings try and do today. They won't be like Solomon. They can have some nice stuff, but it won't be on Solomon's level. And then when you read, when Solomon got to examine everything he had in Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, how he was so depressed because he had turned his back on God and had a bunch of stuff. So he lets us know, I had all the stuff, but without God, it was nothing. And he got depressed to the point where he wanted to die. How can you have everything in the world and have nothing at all because you left God out? Jesus told us that our life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things that we have. Family, don't get it twisted. That's not life. That's not the abundant life that God has promised us. Yes, we'll have a few things, and that's okay, but that's not what we're about. We're about serving God, the wisdom and knowledge that comes from God, the love that comes from God, reaching out to serving others, making disciples, building God's kingdom, being filled with his spirit. That's where our joy, that's where our peace comes from, not from stuff. Solomon had all this, and if you get a chance, read Ecclesiastes. He said his servants had servants. How do the people that work for you have people that work for them? Pools of water. But that's what she saw. And she saw, now mind you, she wasn't just some lady off the street. She was a queen. She had seen a lot. But when she saw Solomon... there was no more spirit left in her. She could have dropped dead right there. Her mouth just hit like the cartoons when your chin just hit the ground. It's bam. She couldn't believe that. Look what she says in verse 5. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land, and all of your acts and everything that you've done and your wisdom. And look at verse 6. This is a kicker. She said, howbeit, I didn't even believe their words until I came. And my eyes had seen it. Okay, so she's saying, they told me about you. I didn't even believe it. But look what she says after that. And behold, the one half of thy greatness, of thy wisdom, was not told to me. She said, they told me something about you and I didn't even believe it. And when I got here, they didn't even tell me the other half about you. Right. I didn't believe the little bit they told me. And I get here and there's a whole nother side. My mind is blown. But that's what God promised him. He said, you'll have it like nobody else has it. Because you asked for wisdom and knowledge, and that was in your heart. Being honest with God and serving God, the peace, the love, the joy that comes with it. And you recognize God in every little thing that comes your way. You might not have it like Solomon, but Solomon realized that without God, all this is nothing. And we realize that now, I don't care what you have and what you don't have. If you don't have God, you still have nothing. What was that song by Billy Preston? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. I don't care what you have and what you don't have. If you don't have God, you have nothing. I don't care what you're trying to do. If you're trying to do it apart from God, it's going to turn into nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. That's not a scripture or anything. It's a line from a song, okay? Amen? Don't say pastor was quoting. My pastor quoted the scripture, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. No. No, I know that was a lyric from a song to make a point. Amen?
Amen.
Let me read verse 6 again. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the one half of thy greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceeded the fame that I heard. And I couldn't believe that. Happy are your men, and happy are your servants, which stand continually before for you and hear your wisdom. But look what she does. When we take a stand for God and we give God the glory, she said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. So obviously you can pick up in that conversation that Solomon told her, well, I didn't do any of this. God gave me this. God asked me what I wanted, and I asked for wisdom and knowledge because that's what I needed. So wisdom. So Solomon gives God the glory. The Queen of Sheba walks away from her experience. She walks away saying, God is awesome. When people leave you and I, regardless of what we don't have and what we do have, when they walk away, they should know that God is awesome. They should know that because of what you say and how you give God the glory, they should walk away and go, wow, God is awesome. Even in our toughest situations, when they walk away, they should say, you know what? God is awesome. God is awesome. All right, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 1. So here's the question. How do you and I put ourselves in a position where God answers our prayer? Just like Esther, just like Nehemiah, just like Solomon, just like Daniel, just like Joseph, just like Jesus. Look at 2 Chronicles 1. 1 and 1. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. All right, so underline, he was strengthened in his kingdom. God was with him. And God magnified him exceedingly. So it's personal. It's you, your relationship with God. You recognizing that God is with you, that your strength comes from God. So you see, it starts with the relationship with God. Verse 2, then Solomon spoke unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. Verse 3, so Solomon and the congregation with him went up to the place for worship, which is called the high place, which was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle, there was the temple of the congregation of God. Amen. Do we understand that we are the temple now, that God lives in us? Amen. Don't disrespect the temple. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within your temple. Continue to worship with your temple. But look what happened. They went up to worship, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. So write this in your notes. Those of you that take notes, which you should, mental notes, but physical notes. Can you worship in the wilderness? Moses then built the temple and the place to worship in the wilderness. Can you still, because of your personal relationship with God, can you still build your place of worship, your temple? Can your temple worship when you are in the wilderness? What is the wilderness? The wilderness is that place when you really don't know what's going on. You think God is with you. You hope God is with you. It feels like it, doesn't feel like it. Even though you see the pillar of cloud by day and the fire of God by night, you're still in the wilderness. You're called to worship in the wilderness. It's a place where you could be alone and you could be angry. You could be broken and barren. You could be crying and confused. You could be desperate and desolate. You could be empty and exhausted. You could be frustrated and fearful. You're in the wilderness. You just, God. But can you worship? Can you and I still worship in the wilderness? Based upon your relationship with God, you still have to worship in the wilderness, family. There's just no way around it. Verse 4, but the Ark of the Covenant had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim, to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Verse 5. So we're talking about worship. We're talking about praise. We're talking about the presence of God. Verse 5. Moreover, the brazen altar that Ben-Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it, or they went to worship God there. Now here's where I was trying to go. Verse 6. Put a star by verse 6. And Solomon went up there to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. How do you and I get in a position where God speaks to us, where we commune with God? You got to get to the place of worship, and you have to offer, which means you have to surrender, you have to sacrifice, you have to submit to God. Because look what happens right after verse 6. He goes to the altar, the tabernacle. He offers 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And then look what happens. Verse 7. Then God shows up. He sacrifices, he submits, he surrenders, he offers there. And how long do you think it takes to offer 1,000 burnt offerings? How long? I mean, that's, and we're just asking just 5 minutes. Well, I'm just saying spend 5 minutes with God each day. I didn't say put up 1,000 minutes. I said just 5. Praise the Lord. God's asking, can you give me 5 minutes? Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. He continually sacrificed to God. God spoke. We can't give God a minute. We hop out of bed and we're running. We can't focus and drill down and say, God, let me pray and fast for 5 minutes before I go on my day. And then we get out there and we say, God, why you don't talk to me? God, why I can't hear you? God, why am I so confused? God, I've been going to church and I've been, God say, you ain't spent no time with me though. I want to talk to your heart alone. I want you to come after me alone. I want it to just be me and you when it's quiet. I want you to sacrifice and submit. Yes, I love you coming to church, but I want to get you alone where it's just us two. So we can spend some time together, so I can speak to your heart, so I can settle your heart, so I can give you peace. And we'll run off and we'll be upset with God because God doesn't answer prayer. And God said, I've been trying to talk to you. I've been waiting. I've been hoping that we could talk, but you just keep running out. I've been waiting to talk to you. I got so much to tell you. You're doing a lot that you don't even need to be doing. You carrying all this weight on your shoulder. I didn't even mean you to carry, but you keep running out with all that stuff on your shoulders. And I want to talk to you about it, but you won't listen. You don't have time for me. You got time for everything else. And then you go and you complain to everybody. But I want to talk to you. But you are content with complaining. And we've already discovered that the more we pray, the less we complain. And God is saying, I want to talk to you. I want to spend that time with you. But you got to make it. Family, you'll be amazed at how God can speak to your heart in 5 minutes a day. You'll be surprised the things that God can tell you in 5 minutes a morning. And see, then some mornings, then it starts getting good. You're like, you know what? I need to get up like 10 minutes earlier now. Amen. And then you get to the point where You know, I was like, you know, I'm going to get up 15 minutes. But start with five. Start with two. But start. I think I shared with you guys that the time I was convicted was years ago when I was getting up, going to the gym, working out. I was at the gym at 5 a.m. Now, that's ridiculous. Who does that? That was just like idiotic. And then, but you get there and you realize, man, it's a bunch of people here. What kind of people are these? The first time I went, I was like, who's at the gym at 5 a.m? You get there and it's full. You go, man, are these people crazy? God, something's wrong with those people. I'm telling you. I tell you, this was years ago, okay? And then one morning I was getting up and God spoke to me and said, man, I wish you could dedicate something like that to me. We do so much for the flesh and money and everything else. God said, I wish I could get some time like that early in the morning. And I got on my knees and I repent. I said, God, I got you. So that's been maybe 10 years ago. I'm not going to leave the house without talking to God, who makes it all possible. God said, especially at our age, God said, I could shut that down with one injury. God said, I'll make sure you won't go to the gym for a long time. Amen. And all the old brothers said, amen. And how we can lose sight of our priorities. I tell you, that's been 10 years ago. And I was like, God, never again. And now when you take advantage of that time, but not only praying, but praying Mark 9:29, that some things only come but by praying and fasting. And you realize that you haven't eaten since your last meal and you're fasting when you wake up and you say, God, by the power of praying and fasting, I want to stand on your word. I want you to commune with my heart like you did with Solomon. I want to sacrifice. I want to submit. I want to offer my life and my heart to you. God responds. God speaks to that heart. God moves. And it's the beautiful thing that you don't even have to question if God is with you because you know. And we'll pick up there next week. If you would, just bow your heads just for a minute. In that night did God appear unto Solomon, said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Wow. So, Lord, here we are. We're bowed before you. And I don't know, Lord, I think we need to go home and kind of examine our motives and our intentions and our hearts. And what do we really want? What do we really need besides your love and your grace and your mercy? But to acknowledge it and walk in it, God, what do we really want? We thank you, Lord, that you're so real. The evidence of Christ, the physical, the circumstantial, the evidence of the power of a changed life, the empty tomb. We thank you that you're real. We thank you that you've chosen us, Lord. We bless you right now. Maybe someone's here and say, Lord, I just need to know that I'm saved. I've never accepted Christ. That's my question. I want to be saved. I want to be rescued. I want to have that relationship with you, but it starts with being saved. If that's you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. You don't have to guess. Or maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I got to get it right. I got to put my time in with God. I got to give God my heart, all of it. I'm holding on to a few little corners. But I'll never know what God can do until I give him 100%. If that's you and you want to rededicate, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you and with you. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I love what God is doing here. And just know it's a place that I can be and find my purpose, my method in God. If that's you and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be your family. I'd love to be your pastor. Elevate your hand. Love to pray with you this morning. Lord, how we love you on today. God, thank you for challenging us with no games and no tricks and no gimmicks, just your word. That's sharper than a two-edged sword. That just cuts away the stuff that we don't need and opens us up and lets us know that we need God. Thank you, Lord. We accept the challenge to do better, to be better, to love better, to sacrifice better, to submit better, to commit better to you, because you're looking right at our hearts and you know. So as we end with the question, what do we want, God? I know we want to do better for you and we want to be closer to you. And we'll examine our hearts to see what to ask for. But we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that answers prayer and a God that hears the prayers of your people. You respond to a submitted, sacrifice, committed heart. Cover us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. Give us traveling graces and journey mercies till we have the opportunity to meet again, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful and so thankful. Cover us, bless us, protect us, challenge us, kids, grandkids, our marriages, our singleness. Let us surrender it all to you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.